Welcome to the Front Row Back Row podcast presented by PhysioGrowth. We're your hosts, Brian, who scaled a PT practice from the trunk of his car to six locations, and Owen, who helped lead an eight-figure exit and now runs a cash-based PT practice. This show is real conversations from owners actively building with what's working right now. All right, it's a tale as old as time. Physical therapists don't feel terribly comfortable with selling. Not all PTs, but I mean, if you have 10 in a room, at least nine of them are going to tell you their least favorite part of the job is selling. And it makes sense, right? You're trying to tell somebody that you can get them better and they should come to you, but we all know we can't fix every single person that walks through our doors for every myriad reasons. And the other part of it is sometimes it's icky because somebody else promised that you can do something when really you can't. There's no way you can. You know, you're busy or that's not your specialty or whatever. So today we're going to talk about why physical therapists feel icky, right? In different settings, because it is very different between like a cash only practice where I'm a sole proprietor. That's what I'm running right now. I spent 13 years in the insurance world building practices, but now I'm a cash provider. So I'm doing the sales and the fulfillment. And then Brian has six PT clinics, right? Most of them are insurance, but I think you have a cash only clinic as well. And he can kind of talk through how do you get a team together so that the PT doesn't feel like they're not able to fulfill what the marketing team does. So we'll talk about that a little bit in depth today. Brian, I think the most important thing, because you brought this up in one of your LinkedIn posts, like what was the thing that kind of brought you to say, man, you know, there's a disconnect here?
I think the interesting part when it comes to this conversation is around the constant conversation I was having with our employees around selling and how it seemed like I was using the dirty S word. You know what I mean? As I've seen other people say. And I think one of the things that I've kind of recognized, I remember this conversation specifically, and the story that I'll tell you is I was having this conversation with one of my strength conditioning coaches, and I think the world of this guy. I think he's a tremendous strength and conditioning coach, like really, really good. And at one point I was like, Mike, we just got to like focus on sales sometimes. And he goes, but I hate sales. And I was like, but why do you hate it so much? He goes, but Brian, don't you, at one point, I can't remember how the conversation kind of even went back and forth a little bit. But then at one point he goes, but Brian, don't you feel like a used car salesman? And I just turned to him and I go, you're the car. I go, so why would I feel like a used car salesman? I go, think about that. You're selling you, right? And so kind of thing that I was talking about in this LinkedIn post, and I've just seen it kind of over and over again, we hired an AI company for a lot of money. It just really fell short of expectations. We were sold on a new, a new strength conditioning system for our like interface with our clients, and the transition has just sucked. So it's just been a really, you know, the sales into the fulfillment on that side has just been terrible. And then also like, you know, other products that you can see out there where it's just like, here's what's promised, here's what the solution is to the problem, and then just it falling short of expectations. And so I think that one of the things that physical therapists need, and you actually talked about in our pre-show when we were chatting about it, but and I'll let you kind of riff on it a little bit. But I think that a lot of physical therapists get imposter syndrome about, oh, I can't fix this problem, or oh, this can't be done. And then what ends up happening is they get sold into something, where they sell the patient to something and don't believe they can actually fix the problem, right? And so that's the issue. It's not that they don't selling. They lack the confidence to fulfill it. And so therefore that product actually doesn't get sold well. And by the way, maybe that's why, man, like as I'm kind of having this epiphany right here live as we're doing this, maybe that's part of why the sales team and the fulfillment teams don't talk, because the sales team's like, I just don't want to know any of the imperfections of what could be actually happening. I want to make sure this is sold, signed, delivered, and, you know, we have the actual commission. And I put the AI generated post on there, but the reality is I think that a lot of this is a fulfillment problem, fulfillment problem more than anything else.
Well, and let's break that down, right? Because people listening to this, they're either a Primarily the sole proprietor, like where I'm at, a lot of times that usually means you're starting out in cash. It's the easiest way to get in, or at least you're a hybrid practice where you kind of take the really good insurances and then cash just to kind of keep the overhead low. But you're the salesperson and the deliverer, right? So
Yep.
in a much bigger practice, it would be sales and then operations, right? So I think what you said there, imposter syndrome, I want to highlight that again, imposter syndrome, because we hear about that a lot. And you hear about it at the beginning of PT school, right? You start out in your first clinical and, oh my God, am I good enough for this? But that can be in sales too. And I think it's important that people understand that in a clinical role, you feel bad telling somebody, I can fix your knee pain, right?
Yeah.
Because you know the math that, yes, physical therapists can fix knee pain. But we're not going to fix everybody, so I can't say that to everybody, which means that because I don't want to lie, because if I lie to that one person, then I'm a bad professional and all that.
Yes.
And I think that that is what really hammers down the sales and delivery person, right? So me, when I'm the only person in the company, right? And I think it's really important, a mind shift that's helped me in converting more people and feeling more confident in front of somebody so that they feel confident trusting themselves with my care, is that I know I'm better than most, right? And I feel that I've had people give me amazing Google reviews and they haven't gotten a lick better. They were a surgical
Yeah.
candidate. We found out 4 weeks in that they should have got an MRI and they were gone. The product was me caring, me showing up, me talking through my thought process, me working with them on how to get progress, and this is what we're going to do, and this is what you can expect. And if we don't get there, we're going to do this. And they loved it. They were happy to pay for it. Tell everyone I'm the best physical therapist in the valley. And that was a
Yeah.
failure. I failed. I didn't get them better, right? But because I had that confidence, I was able to do it. So I think that's what really hamstrings a lot of sole proprietors, is that they look at it as I can't let it be not 100% success. Whereas really, you have to redefine success.
For sure. And I think that this is a key difference. We kind of talked about this, you know, because you made a comment. You were like, well, a lot of cash-based physical therapists making the sale are also the person fulfilling the product. Yes and no, right? So it depends. It depends on the business. So, you know, in some cases, it could be a front desk person selling. It could be, you know, a VA. It could be a physical therapist for another person. It could be something along those lines. So it could be straight up a salesperson. It could be that as well.
And
I
that's more
think.
your business. So I want to get into that, right? So that's where the communication comes in. I don't have enough money for a front office person, right? Or some people, they just want to keep it small. They just don't want to deal with it. But then what are the challenges that you see when you do have a clinic with multiple PTs or you do have a sales team?
So I think to think about the sales team aspect or how sales kind of work in this process, right, is like it the difference you got to work backwards. So basically, the difference with insurance and cash base is that more often than not, because you and insurance-based physical therapy are probably not cheap, but the cheapest option in essence, it kind of removes one of the major objections to most things, which is a price objection. That being said, you know, now with co-pays or we were talking about like deductibles and whatnot from that perspective, if something's 70 to 100 to 150 bucks on a co-pay or whatever, or like a deductible, it's not like the thing's removed completely. And I think that's a big part of the objection aspect. So, you know, for us, the major sale of people calling, you know, do you take my insurance? That's the conversation that changes just based off insurance and cash. Everything else is identical. Down to the marketing, to the funnels, et cetera. So there are slight differences, but everything still comes around trust. And when we look at insurance in particular, if somebody doesn't understand when they show up, oh, this is how much it's going to cost me, right? Before they walk through the door, there is a certain amount of people that are going to be peeved by the process. And so actually, I would actually be curious how you do it, Owen, because I have heard, you know, we've gone about this a couple different ways, and I don't think we've actually even had to coach people on it because a lot of our guys are pretty good with sales and landing sales before they even have a problem. So the sales things for the people we coach aren't as big of a deal. And so we haven't chatted about it in the past. But I think that when it comes to insurance for us, by the time someone gets to us for initial evaluation, sometimes there's a feeling around the idea of like, all right, here is what I'd like to pay for or not pay for. And I think that probably is where value obviously kind of hits a crossroads. So if I'm somebody who's been told, yep, we're in network with your insurance, the worst case scenario is, if you haven't hit your deductible, it's going to be X amount of dollars till you hit your deductible. That person may or may not hear that, right? They may have just stopped listening at I you take my insurance, right?
Which means free.
Yes, exactly. And that happens all the time. And then somebody comes in and it's like, hey, they have an $80 copay, $89 copay, $100 and something dollar copay until they hit their deductible, right? Or I had a happen where someone was like, but I already paid that. And I was like, you paid $10 and then we got your deductible back and realized you owe X amount of money more, right? So anyway, there's that also aspect of like my expectation versus what I actually received. And that's the value gap that can happen in insurance as well.
Well, what we would always do when I was over, God, 40 something PTs, before I switched to this cash practice, the biggest thing that it was all about communication on that aspect, right? So on some of the stuff that you're talking about is making sure that the front office is not too eager for a sale, that they don't say, hey, you are going to have to give me money. It'll be this much every time you walk in. And sometimes you can't verify the benefits when they're on the phone, but you almost kind of decrease their expectations and say, look, if you have a deductible, it'll be this much, or yes, but you still have to pay typical copays anywhere between $20 to $80. So part of that is just sales training up front. But I think the biggest issue is with insurance. And this is why typically when I say cash versus insurance, I'm usually talking about a scaling problem. Like you said, it's not about how you take payment. It's just typically insurance, you have to see a lot more people, which means you have to have multiple employees to make it work, right? So when we're talking about insurance, or at least just a big cash practice, the biggest thing is you have to understand with insurance specifically, there is no benefit to being the cheapest or the second cheapest, right? So if you're the cheapest person, you win on price. But if you're the second cheapest, you're not, right? Well, the thing about insurance is everyone's the cheapest, right? Because it's their plan that's paying, not them. So how do you differentiate yourself? Well, it's the experience, right? So your salespeople are basically selling the experience. So for you, where you're 40 minutes one-on-one and we take your insurance, you're going to have a great experience to be able to tell somebody, look, you're getting 5 minutes with a PT down the street. We're not taking as much cash out of it so that we can do this. But then the problem there is going to be, well, you're going to have a much more of a scheduling issue, right? So your marketers have to understand, okay, PTB is totally fine with somebody waiting 2 weeks to get in, whereas PTA is like annoyed with it. Right. So then it becomes, does the manager have to coach PTA? Right. Or is there some operational thing that PTA isn't having their, I'm saying PTA like first PT, second PTA.
I got you.
They're not managing their schedule correctly. So that's an ops issue. Right. Is it a question that marketing has no idea what they're selling or what the current status is? We always had marketing come to our staff meetings so they could hear, look, it's February in Phoenix. We're booked out 4 weeks. Please don't tell the doctors we can get them in tomorrow because then I'm going to get yelled at by Mrs. Smith, right? So you're selling the experience a lot more in insurance because everyone's the same price, essentially, right? And you need to be able to, the ops team, the marketing needs to know what's going on that week with the ops team because the ops team is always going to feel bad when they can't deliver on the promise.
Let me clarify too. I think when it comes to insurance versus cash-based physical therapy, when we think about, the sales process, the only major difference here, like Owen was talking about, is this price aspect. And when you think about major things that people object over, price is one of the major ones, right? Do I trust the product? Do I trust the company? Do I trust the person delivering the product, right? And so I think the ante just goes up when it comes to, when the ante comes, basically, I think if you're a cash-based physical therapist in that scenario, you have to earn that trust that much stronger. So I just think there's a little bit of a process that you got to slow down a little bit more. And so I
Well, and
think,
they can compete on lower price, whereas you can't. Everyone's the same for you. But it's still a volume thing. If you have three cash PTs who are all busy and you're telling someone it's $200 for a session, which is probably going to be similar to everyone else in your area, but you're the one who can't get them in for 3 weeks, whereas the guy down the street can. And
Yeah,
that's not a payment problem.
for
So yeah,
sure.
it's very small, but it's just I'm looking at more like typically the ones with five PTs in the office are not a cash practice,
Yeah,
right?
well, I think also kind of what you're talking about is I think the aspect of that fulfillment side is an issue, right? I think that it can be packaged, but I think here's the thing. I guess going back to the original problem thing. Say I can't get them in for 3 weeks, being like, hey, no, I'd love to have your business. Cool that you're coming in. It's great. Just so you're aware, the next time I can see you is in 3 weeks, right? I'd love to move forward with you, but I also want to be transparent about that. That like we're that busy here. And again, we're that busy because we're awesome, right? But just so you know, if it aligns with your goals, we can see you. And to your point, now here's a different business side note to that. That's a fulfillment problem and a business problem that you need to hire another physical therapist. That's simple. Like you should be, if you have that type of problem, then it's really you don't have enough physical therapists, and that's what's actually limiting your growth, number one. Number two, in that scenario, you see where I just created like transparency? I think that's the crux of the problem. If you're a salesperson, I actually personally found sales to be easier in that scenario because I was able to relax more. It's like, hey, I don't need this sale. I want this sale. But I don't need it. Like it's not going to pay my bills, right? And I think that's the thing about getting busier that's really nice versus, there's countless stories of people saying, hey, I need this sale so badly, otherwise I can't pay my rent or my payroll or whatever. I think it's in those scenarios that people are like really trying to drool at overselling and basically can't fulfill it, right?
Well, and that's where you need to look at your incentives for your salespeople. If you hired them on the fact that like if you hit your goals, you'll get 20,000 extra this month, right?
Yeah.
But then you can't hire somebody for 6 months, pay them the damn 20,000. Take that pressure off of them. Make sure that they help solve solve the problem. The problem is not them getting people in. The problem is operations, right?
For
So
sure.
yeah, you're going to be off, but you're going to have a salesperson who will be transparent, who's not looking for a dead sale or who's trying to revive a dead sale. And they will say, look, hey, I'm sorry, I got to be transparent with you. This is what's happening. We're freaking awesome. And you're going to have some people that are like, dude, I'm cool with that. I want to go to the awesome place, right?
Yeah, for
And they'll get
sure.
the sale anyway. Right. And then you're going to have the people who just, they need to check a box to get their MRI or whatever, and they're going to go somewhere else. So that's what my owner never did. I understand that's a financial commitment, but that is something that can take a lot of the sales versus operations stress off is when you tell the salespeople, look, it's not your fault
Yeah.
here, So
And I think this is
that's
where
just what
some,
we did or what I
no,
wish we did.
and I think this is something where the front desk can be ruthlessly effective too, because there's somebody who can say, hey, I'm just going to get your schedule. And again, a lot of it can just be the process of like, yep, we take your insurance. Yep, no problem. Yes, we've seen this before. Absolutely, we can do this. Like, I think the difference is the trust is sort of transferred from a doctor's referral or if you've done a community event. Like, a great example is before I left one of our clinics today. We were getting a referral from one of the local high schools that we staff. And very quickly, the PT got on the phone and was just like, yeah, I saw her the other day. I think she was interested in starting physical therapy with us. And I saw her and I think it'd be a really good idea because of this, this, and this. And that was the sale. It was just done very quickly, but we don't think anything of it because the transfer of trust was very easy. It went from the kid to the parent. They took the insurance, so objections overcome. So there was trust on the provider, there was trust on the company, and the trust was reinforced on the company because we took the insurance. And again, like somebody asked me yesterday, like, what's it going to cost me with my insurance? And it was just somebody, a friend of mine who was coming to the clinic, and I was like, this is the worst case scenario, right? But it's still the cheapest option you're going to have. That's the advantage that insurance-based physical therapists have because they're able to just skip that step. Whereas the transparency, I think, for cash physical therapy needs to be kind of upfront. Right? It needs to be like, hey, this is what this is. Because if you don't overcome that early, it's the thing that's going to bring everything that your treatment has to a screeching halt. And that's really what it comes down to.
It wouldn't be the first thing I say in a sales script. I would still do what
Yes.
you always coach people to say of like, let's
Sidestep.
solve, what's your problem? Let's solve it. Let's do all this. But you can't leave that first phone call without saying like, and by the way, our prices are this, right?
Totally.
So that's a recipe for disaster.
And for those who are interested in how that sales scripts work, we do that training and have those sales scripts available to people in our physio growth group. And the quick of it is, to exact Owen's point, is you sidestep it, you build trust, then you pitch. That's the idea, right? So think about it. It's never like, And I always think of, like, I'm trying to think of any story where I've walked into a store and the person's, you know what? I always think of this one. I remember it was a ferry that I was going to with my parents. It was like, again, and again, that's a random statement that it was a ferry. And I just remember my wife and I were buying this, like, caramel popcorn on the ferry. Yes, very random of thing. And my kids were hungry. We wanted a snack. I did forgot to bring snacks, so we bought this thing. And the woman was like, "That's $17." And I remember being like, "I'm fucking stuck on this ferry. You can charge whoever I want. My kids are hungry. I want a snack. What do you want me to do?" It felt judgy. But that's where it's interesting, because I was in so much quote unquote pain at the moment, because, and again, this is part of the sales 101, but I was so much pain at the moment that it didn't fucking matter what it was, right? Like, I was like, I had to pay the I know, did I want to pay $17 for any snack? Of course not. But the reality was, like, what else was I gonna do?
It's better than
So
your kids freaking out in the middle of the ocean.
1,000%. So that's the reality of the situation. Now, you're not gonna explain that to someone.
Reframing. So
So
if you want to learn that stuff, by the way, physio-growth.com.
love it.
We got a lot of options there for you. Take a look, check it out. Everything from a Q&A group to little tutorials, things like that. But Brian has built his company from where I'm at, out of the back of a car, cash only, all that, to six clinics, acquiring places, all that stuff. So he is going to be able to give you the confidence to be able to pitch this stuff and sell this stuff and practice it, most importantly, so that it becomes a skill that you can use every day.
Love it. Cool. Summed it up better than
Right,
I think
buddy.
I could ever could. All right.
Hey, there you go. See,
Love
I'm working on it. Two years of the podcast with you, I get better at sales. So
it.
what are you going
Took some time, but we're there now. I love it.
to do?
Cool.
All right, my friend,
All
we
right.
are out.
See ya.